For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just read Doran's your name.
Yep.
That Vera Liddell, the chicken wing thief, she was selling a lot of them at a higher value to local bars and restaurants.
Got it.
But I got to think she was grabbing some chicken for herself. Yeah,
she was holding a couple packages.
What a play.
Yeah.
A chicken wing millionaire. It's unbelievable. Jeff Hathorn joins us right now, our sports director on the Fan Morning Show. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Jeff, good morning to you. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Hey, we're in uniform. What about Doran? Doran, you're not in uniform here.
He's got his West A shirt on, though.
Uniform for what? Oh, a fan.
We got our fan stuff on. Perfect long sleeve morning, isn't it, Jeff? Doesn't it feel football-y out there?
Yes. Yes. It feels like it camps about to close. Like, yeah, for those of you that still have summer left, yeah, it feels like fall.
Well, and unfortunately, we get really excited whenever there's that little crisp feeling in the air because it feels like football for kids. It's back to school. And more often than not in our lives, that also means the Pirates season is basically over, Jeff.
Oh.
And so we started off today not talking about last night's game, but looking ahead to next year. And as you think about the lineup, Jeff, we settled on Reynolds, Cruz, IKF and Andrew McCutchen as the guys that you would definitely sharpie in. Maybe Joey Bart, probably Nick Gonzalez. Who do you think fills out the rest of the lineup, and do you agree with those guys being the ones that'll be the carryovers?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about it the other day. I mean, you know, Cruz and Reynolds, obviously. Joey Bart, has a role in there somewhere, depending on what Kutch wants to do. Especially the last couple of games, man. He's come up huge for them. Even he's tried to pull them through, and they just haven't been able to do it. you know, Hayes, you have to, but, man, you need something, some kind of offense from that position. It's just been... And I guess I'm not giving up on De La Cruz, even though what we've seen so far has just been horrible. I couldn't believe that they made a trade for a guy who's a power hitter and got worse.
Yes. Brian De La Oliveris, we've been calling him.
Yeah. It's not looking good.
It's looking quite bad, yeah.
Jeff.
No, it's not Ellie.
Jeff, heading over to the Steelers, because I feel like, you know, there's nothing positive to
yeah,
take
we're
out
tapped.
Of the
we're tapped on tapped. That, yeah.
Yeah, like so, just tap.
So on the post-game show last night, I used this analogy. Watching the Pirates is like being at a horror film and then being forced to sit through the alternate endings.
See, I would like that, but I'm not like the normal people out there. Jeff, it's been reported that Troy Fautanu is going to be the starting right tackle to start the season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But as Troy Fautanu is out right now with a knee injury, Broderick Jones still is at right tackle, where Troy Fautanu will end up being when you start the season. Do you feel like that they're not doing right by Broderick Jones, and just sliding him over to the left and have him go back and forth with Dan Moore Jr.? Like, why is he still right tackle? Why not Dan Moore Jr. at right tackle until Fontanu gets back so Broderick Jones can get the left tackle reps?
Well, I think the simple answer to that is that Dan Moore just struggles too much on the right side. You know, just moving over to that side, the footwork, the angles of it just has been tougher for him, and they've kind of given up on that and just stuck Dan on the left side and going to have him compete on that side until he's no longer as a starter. You know, we talked to Broderick last week, a couple days before the game. We were asking him about it, and, you know, he could have been playing us, but he seemed very honest. He's like, man, I don't know where I'm playing. Like, I have no idea if I'm going to be on the left side or the right side. He said, I just come in and do what I'm supposed to do. He said, it wouldn't take me long to flip back over because he's naturally a left tackle. But I believe him. I don't know that he knows where he's going to start. And, I mean, if Faltano – and I listen, Jerry's been – he's the dean right now of reporters. But if he's not going to play another preseason game and then start, I mean – they saw some things with very little first team reps. So that would be interesting, considering how patient Mike Tomlin has been at most other times with rookies, if all of a sudden Faltano went in there. And that must have meant, I think, as much as maybe they've just decided the Daniel Moore era has ended more than Faltano is 100% ready for that opportunity.
Well, so that's my thing with it. First of all, I agree that would be a departure from the way Tomlin usually goes about things. Faltanu played in the preseason game, gives up two sacks, then gets hurt, and then a day later we get the report that he's going to be the starting right tackle. It just doesn't jive with the way that Tomlin has usually done things. The question is it really then going to be a battle at left tackle? And does that mean they're underwhelmed with Broderick Jones? Does that mean Dan Moore Jr. has had a good camp? How do you read into that, Jeff?
Yeah, it is. I agree with you. I don't, there wasn't anything in the game that told me that, man, Broderick struggled, or there hasn't been anything at camp that tells me that Broderick struggled. And you would think that's one of the reasons they gave last year that he didn't start was he didn't have a ton of college experience. Well, now he's got over half a year of starting experience. I don't know why you would. And Dan Moore's been fine in camp. But I don't, you know, if you're punishing Jones, I don't understand why. Like, I haven't seen why. There's been nothing to my eyes that showed me. We'll see how this plays out. I mean, maybe it's just this is our plan, but Faltano wasn't ready. And maybe they want everybody to know, listen, we believe in Faltano. It's just we can't start him right now because he hasn't played. But we want you to know we want him to start. So there's always that possibility, too, that the Steelers want that out there.
Jeff, what grade did you give Justin Fields on Friday? And based off of that grade, do you think it'll look different on Saturday when Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback against the Buffalo Bills in the second preseason game?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, B- for Fields. I mean, he made a couple of – I thought the best play he made was when he – on that screen when he had to alter his arm angle and get that throw out to Pickens. Like, that was a good athletic move. I mean, I know some people have blamed him for the sacks. I don't know that he had that much time. And that one route, Freiermuth and Pickens, looked like Pickens was running the wrong route. If he would have thrown that pass, that could have been disastrous. So taking the sack in that time – maybe it wasn't the worst decision. But, you know, they bogged down. There's center quarterback exchanges. Those are on both guys. And it looked like the one that he was going out for a read option and didn't drop his foot the way he was supposed to. So that may have been more on Fields than it was on Herbig. I think with Russell Wilson, I'm really anxious to see this because he's taken over as the first team quarterback. I am. I want to see what he could do. He's shown some things, but he's had so few, you know, reps in a 11-on-11 full pads that I'm not exactly sure what we'll see. But I would hope it's better, but I'm not sure because we just haven't seen a lot of it.
I had a little birdie tell me, Jeff, that yesterday after practice, Zach Frazier was working on snapping footballs to Russell Wilson. What do you think the trajectory is of Zach Frazier? Did I call him Adam Frazier?
No.
Okay. I did it in my head then. Stupid Crowley. Anyway, what's the trajectory of Zach Frazier? Do you expect him, we haven't been told yet, but do you expect him to start against the Bills? And do you think that that'll continue to play out and he'll be the starter against Atlanta?
Yeah, I don't expect him to start against the Bills. What we saw yesterday for the first time, they break off into position groups. Every time it's been Herbig taking the first team reps. We saw Zach taking some first team reps with the rest of the starting offensive line. He started to work in a couple, just a few snaps, 11 on 11 with the first team, where Herbig would move over to guard just as a different scenario. I think it's coming. And man, Nate Herbig, I mean, nobody on the team works as hard as him. I mean, the guy busts, he tries so hard. The guys really like him, but it's coming. He'll start the opener. Whether he'll start the last preseason game, I don't think he'll start this one, but it's coming. And I feel stronger that it's going to be Zach Frazier under center when they're in Atlanta.
Jeff, very good. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you on Thursday. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, boys.
Hey, take it easy. Jeff Hathorn and our Steelers coverage on The Fan presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. I don't want to make too much of it, but I did hear that it was Frazier snapping the ball under center to Russell Wilson after practice over and over and over and over again. And I have to think that means something. That those two know it's going to be them, and they don't want what was such a huge talking point coming out of game one being what it looks like with those two in game number two.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. They want to get those reps in because that's what's going to be rolled out.
The more I think about game one, the more irritated I get by those fumbled snaps. Whomever's fault it was, it just takes away from your ability to work more and see more of Justin Fields. And I kind of agree with Jeff. Like a B-minus performance from Justin Fields. We didn't see anything spectacular. I did like the screen pass. I did like when he stood in the pocket on the play action and hit Van Jefferson. He just, a B-minus ain't going to be enough to make the Steelers go, ooh, should we?
Yeah, but that was orchestrated, I believe. On purpose to see how he does operate under center. And now they got their answer. Like if they rolled out in a game, I don't think Justin Fields would be under center at all. Like I think he'd be in the shotgun. I think they wanted to see that and they got their answer. Like if he didn't go under center at all, what would the grade be? And that's actually probably how they would have rolled out the offense if it was a regular season game.
Oh, it's not even so much that I ding him points on his GPA for the fumbles. Mm-hmm. It's just that they thwarted drive. So you don't get to see as much.
Yeah. It was on purpose. I think it was on purpose. Like, to do that process. If they actually wanted actually clean drives, they would have put him in the shotgun.
Yeah. Well, or you would just hope that he wouldn't fumble the snap.
Right.
Yeah. And I just wish we could have seen more from Fields. And we still had... Mike Tomlin didn't say that it's going to be Russell Wilson on Saturday. It will be. I think we just read the tea leaves. I think we're going to see a fair amount of Justin in that game, too. I think we're going to see a decent amount of both guys. All right, coming up next, you asked Jeff about this Dulac report. Let's get into that because it's exciting in one way and it's also very frustrating in another. We'll break it down for the people coming up next. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I want to dive into this Jerry Dulac story about Troy Faltanu in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and we will. But remind me, Doran, in the next segment, on one of these national shows, they're having a very stupid conversation, and they have inserted the Steelers into the middle of it, and I don't want to forget to make fun of them, okay? Just, Callis, keep me on schedule here to remind me. It is really, really dumb. I mean, it is so dumb, I would rather talk about it now, but we got the newsy stuff. We got the Dulac report. And so here's what Dulac wrote yesterday. After I said, disastrous for Troy Faltanu on Friday night, gives up two sacks, gets hurt, he's not going to start. And Dulac says, not so fast, my friend. Here's what Mr. Dulac wrote. Quote, Steelers don't want to wait any longer with rookie Troy Faltanu, even though they have no other choice right now. After 3 weeks of training camp and just one preseason game, they are ready to hand the starting right tackle job over to their number one draft choice. They plan to start him in Saturday night's preseason game against the Buffalo Bills and leave him there for the start of the regular season until he injured his knee Friday night against the Houston Texans. That will leave Broderick Jones, last year's first-round pick, to battle incumbent Dan Moore Jr. for the starting left tackle position. For now, though, Jones will remain at right tackle until Faltanu returns. Faltanu will miss the final two preseason games, but with 2 weeks in between until the start of the regular season, he is expected to be ready for September 8th in Atlanta. There's a lot going on there in that report. First of all, I do have a hard time believing it. Not that they weren't planning on starting him against Buffalo. That makes sense. That is ascension. You want to give him an opportunity. But I can't just ignore that he's going to miss the final two preseason games, is going to miss training camp, going to miss this joint practice, and still think that Mike Tomlin, of all people, is just going to give him the starting right tackle job. It just doesn't make sense for the way that we know that Tomlin has always operated.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that drives me nuts is that they still look at it as a battle at left tackle between Jones and Dan Moore Jr. And then the other thing that kind of, frankly, ticks me off is that in the interim, even though those two guys are battling at left tackle, you're going to have Broderick Jones play right tackle. Make this make sense for me, please.
It doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
It doesn't make any sense, but I guess we have to see how they roll out there. Like, I mean, you would think that you would stick, and I know that Jeff said, and we asked him basically the same question. He said the easy answer is that Dan Moore Jr. can't play right tackle. Well, so be it. He's probably not going to be a tackle at all.
Right.
He's going to be a backup tackle or not on this roster. So you put your first-round pick of last year, whose natural position is left tackle, at left tackle. Say it's a competition, because just in case you want to make Dan Moore Jr. a trade piece or you want to get something for him, say that he's still competing for that job, so it looks like he's playing at a high level. I get that PR move right there. But, you know, if the end of the day is going to be Faltanu at right and Broderick at left, then why not put Broderick at left right now, unless you just want to get him more reps at right just in case something does happen? I don't know. I can't make sense of it, but I think at the end of the day, it'll all play itself out, and what we know is Faltanu at right, Broderick at left. Either Dan Moore's not on the roster, or he's a swing tackle.
Yeah, you see, that's the good thing to take out of this.
Like, who cares if he can't play right tackle? Put him there in preseason.
Yes! Yes!
Who cares?
I don't give a rat's ass if Dan Moore Jr. is not as good of a right tackle as he is a left tackle. If you get everything you want and Faltanu is healthy enough to be your starting right tackle day one against Atlanta September 8th, and Broderick Jones is your left tackle, don't you at least want to work Dan Moore Jr. at right tackle in the interim? Because he's going to be your swing tackle
right. If
you don't trade him. And I don't think they're going to trade him at this point. They could. We saw it happen last year. Two offensive linemen. They ship out basically around the same time. But if Dan Moore is my swing tackle, okay, you think he sucks at right tackle. I'm sure he does, because he's not a great left tackle. So if they don't think he's good at right, that means he's really not good at right. But I'd at least like to get him some reps there, because, again, Faltanu not healthy. At some point, an offensive lineman could get hurt, and I'd at least want to cross-train my guy, Dan Moore Jr., at right. It just doesn't make sense. And now you're holding Broderick Jones back. You're holding him back. He was pretty good last year, particularly run blocking at right tackle. And that you can draw a direct line to when he got inserted for Chooks to when their run game took off. Great. But that's where he played.
Mm-hmm.
And while he's a natural left, we've said all along he didn't play a ton of tackle overall in college. He was a project. So why not let him get the lion's share at left tackle to warm up to this thing? So I'm definitely encouraged that young guy, Feltonu, we think he's good. Jerry even wrote they think he's their second best offensive lineman right now. Great. So play him day one. Fabulous. Hooray, hurrah. We'll get Broderick ready to be your left tackle, right. Your starting left tackle day
right.
one.
If I was Dan Moore Jr., I'd want to play right, even though that there's tape of me not playing right well. It shows my worth, at least around the league. If I do get released, I could play right and left. Like, I would want to play right, not just left.
I'm with you on that. If not for now, then at the end of the year when you're a free agent.
Right.
Like, even though he's not a great NFL left tackle, he's played a bunch. He's been healthy. He's going to have value here or elsewhere. But you do get more value if you're both. Because he might not get signed to be someone starting left tackle. He might because there's not a lot of great offensive linemen in this league. But at worst, you're trying to latch on someplace else at the end of the year
right.
as a swing guy. But if you've never played right or you haven't played well, I'd want that to be on tape against the Bills. Have me at right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
They're ultimately, I think, going to get to the right place.
Yeah.
But the way they get there is like bastardized and all screwed up.
It's very, very odd, which I do think that, you know, on Saturday we will see the combination of both.
Yeah.
That's just, you have to do your due diligence
right.
as a team by doing that. Like, I don't see Broderick just staying at right and then he's out of the game in the second half and that's it.
Right.
Like, he has to play some left.
Yeah.
Has to. Right? I mean, what are we doing?
I would like him to play left tackle against the best the Buffalo Bills have to offer, though.
Yes.
Like, I don't want it to be a couple of series with the ones for Dan Moore, and then when it's backups in there, it's Broderick Jones at left tackle. You would hope that he would go out there and push dudes around, and that'd be nice to see. But I want to know if he can hold up against the best of the best. We just saw it with Feltonu. You know, it was your first game in the NFL under the lights, and Danielle Hunter gets the best of you, and Kyle Williams has 70 sacks in his career. Okay.
Yeah, that's gonna happen.
It's going to happen, and it's a learning experience. Afford Broderick Jones the same opportunity to learn, even if it means that you don't succeed on the left side against starters. What are we doing here? And they,
unless they just meant like he's going to start at tackle, and then he might be the left tackle.
Who?
Feltonu. Unless maybe right tackle was kind of blown out of proportion. I don't know. I mean, Jerry has been doing this a long time. Mm-hmm. Not saying that Jerry's wrong, but maybe they're like, he's going to be a starter at tackle, and maybe it's the left tackle. Because, I mean, I saw a rep of Broderick Jones get whooped off the ball at left tackle that somebody sent me.
Yeah.
So maybe they're like, all right, we feel comfortable Broderick at right. It's the competition's at left, but there's not a competition, and maybe Feltonu would just be the left tackle and not the right, and Broderick would be the right.
I think he's going to be the left.
Who?
Broderick.
I do too, but I'm trying to figure this out.
Make sense of a situation that doesn't make a ton of sense. I mean, the only thing now as we're talking this out that makes some sense is maybe they're not as optimistic as this report would indicate that Feltonu will be ready and able to go against Atlanta. And so what's your best chance to win that game? Your best chance to win that game is probably Broderick doing what he showed he was good at last year, and Dan Moore showing the only thing that we've ever seen him be fairly, if that, successful at left tackle.
Right. So, like, I mean, not a doctor, but I've had about three MCL sprains. MCL sprains take about maybe 2-3 weeks. Maybe they're planning for if he's not ready to play right tackle against Atlanta, maybe he takes an extra, you know, a couple days and isn't ready, then this is the unit that we're going to go out with Broderick at right and Dan Moore.
Yeah, and that part does make sense.
Yeah.
You've got to win a game, and you won games last year with Broderick at right and Dan Moore at left. So that makes sense.
Right.
I would just be mixing and matching more than they are right now. And I would want Broderick to get a ton of work at left tackle if that is where they really think he'll eventually wind up. All right, so that's trying to make heads or tails of that.
I think we did decent.
There. I think we did very well.
Hit every angle, and I don't see any other angle that's out there that could be a possibility.
Agreed. But my head does hurt.
Yes.
And I think people's heads are about to hurt even more when we come back.
Oh, no.
because this is one of the dumbest things ever discussed on ESPN. And the Steelers are right in the middle of it. And we'll tell you what that is, and wait until you hear this coming up next, man. This is a segment. This is a get up or whatever the hell it is. Just wait until you hear this. This is incredible. One last thing here on Troy Faltanu. Steelers didn't know he was hurt, Doran. This is according to Dulac. He requested a brace on his knee, and they're like, why? And he's like, yeah, my knee hurts a little bit. All right, let's take a second look at that. So they give him some bonus points for toughness there. He wasn't even like, oh, guys, oh, shoot, I'm hurt. Oh, my God. No, just need a brace. And then they asked some follow-up questions, and they said, okay, let's just
diagnosed.
Take it easy. Yeah, diagnose it right there.
Did
in the
they
locker
say
room.
How long he would, two weeks?
That's what Dulac reported.
Yeah, it's about 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, so he's not going to play in the preseason, which is another reason why even with the report, I guess I'd be surprised if he started the first game of the season. Like, he's a rookie who's going to miss significant time in those in-stadium reps that Tomlin values so dearly, and then they're just going to cede him the position? It just doesn't feel very Steelers-y.
Maybe they've seen, like we were talking about yesterday, maybe they've seen enough in practice, and maybe they think that Russell Wilson can hide and get the ball out quick, that he won't be exposed in that first game. I don't know. But, I mean, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Because it's different.
Yeah, right. And they have operated different all offseason.
Right.
And I think Tomlin's a guy that is loath to change his stripes, and he kind of is set in his ways now, a decade and a half into his NFL career. That would be a good thing. Hey, this guy is talented, and he played a bunch of ball in college at a high level, and we drafted him for a reason, and we're going to play him. And you play the most talented two tackles you have. That would be a good thing. I hope that that's the case. All right, you ready for this really dumb segment going on ESPN Radio right now?
Give it to me.
So this is from Chris Canty. This is what they're talking about right now. Chris Canty's top five contenders who should hit the panic button already. Dolphins, Jets, Steelers, Cowboys, Browns. It's August 13th. I'm just trying to think of why the Steelers would be pushing the panic button now.
No receivers.
I guess. But
I don't know about the quarterback situation. I kind of get it.
What?
Yeah.
The only reason...
So much unknown.
The only reason you would panic about the quarterback situation is if you're one of these national guys that's like, oh, it's going to be Justin Fields. It's got to be Justin Fields. That's the only way you could panic about quarterback. Well,
not really, Crowley.
Yes, really. Tell me why not really.
Because Russell Wilson's 35 years old, and he's been hurt for about 3 weeks.
He got time off, man. He's fresher than ever.
Okay,
now.
But why? I mean, it's only going to take one movement. No, your body breaks down.
See, I disagree with the premise just to begin with. Like... unless your quarterback's knee exploded, you can't be panicking on August 13th. If Ayuk signed with the Niners and you wanted to have this funky, fangled, stupid conversation about panicking in August, okay, I would entertain that.
He's still not signed here.
I know that, but you can't rule him out here, and we'll get into that later on.
He's not a Steeler.
He's not a Steeler, but
he's
not. As
you right now, what is the receivers?
I think he's as much a Steeler as he is a 49er right now.
Don't get yourself in trouble.
I'm not in trouble. I think it's 50-50, if not leaning to the Steelers, that he's a Steeler. If they sign him, or if they make clear, we're not trading him, good luck, Brandon. You have to, you're under contract, you're playing. Then I'll panic about the receivers. I'm not panicked yet. If I'm a Jets fan, I might be panicked.
Hassan Reddick.
He sucked me in. He sucked me in, this Chris Canty, Dorian. Now you've sucked me in. Like, if I'm the Jets, I might be freaking out a little bit because Reddick got acquired 4 months ago and he's requesting a trade, which tells you something's going on over there.
Aaron Rodgers not showing up to mini camps.
Yeah. Why are the Dolphins panicking?
Because I feel like that they have a lot of pressure for all the money that they've spent.
Yeah, sure.
And how high-powered of an offense they have. Tua's, you know, getting paid a lot of money. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. They got to perform. They have to.
Oh, I totally agree with that. I just don't know what has happened in, like, 2 weeks of training camp where now we're hitting the panic button. That's the verbiage I can't agree with. Like, Cowboys, if you want to be freaking out if you're a Cowboys fan, I do get that. I do get that, because who's your quarterback next year?
Mm-hmm.
And Micah Parsons, what's going on there?
CeeDee Lamb.
And CeeDee Lamb, what's going on there? And then the Browns are listed fifth. Contenders that should hit the panic button. Why are they panicking already? Why is anybody panicking?
Don't know about Deshaun Watson.
Okay, but then... But what?
There's a lot of question marks around these teams that you could hit the panic button, but at the same time see them being contenders at the end of the year.
I just don't know why you're hitting the panic button if you're the Browns now. Like, you've known Deshaun Watson's your quarterback the whole time. Like, the Cowboys, that situation hasn't evolved. Okay, if you want, if I'll indulge the conversation, fair enough. The Jets, if I'll indulge the conversation with Reddick, okay, fair enough. But nothing has changed with the Dolphins, nothing has changed with the Steelers, and nothing has changed with the Browns. I just don't understand it. It's stupid to me. It's dumb. It's ridiculous. Are you panicked about the Steelers?
I can see where he's coming from. Like, yeah, I'm hitting the panic button right now because I know that this receiver core is not going to – they're one injury away by becoming a 98% run football team with three tight ends and an extra tackle.
Wishbone?
Honestly. Like, do a little
single wing?
Yes.
Just wait.
So as we sit here right now, yes, I would hit
the
panic button.
No, don't panic. Just wait.
Okay.
Ayuk's going to be a Steeler. Just wait.
Okay.
Just relax.
And knowing what the 49ers
want. Did you play with
want?
Chris Canty?
No.
I'm like, you must like the guy.
I didn't think he's all right, yeah.
That is such a great, stupid topic.
Think about it, though. It makes too much sense to me.
I would love to hear the reasoning why he's panicked about the Steelers. The Ayuk stuff might make some sense to me. Might. Like, the way you've laid it out. But, I mean,
there's so much unknown, crowd. Like, the offensive coordinator situation.
But I'm not panicked. I'm delighted by that.
I mean,
nothing has changed. Nothing. We knew who the offensive coordinator was coming into the year, and we should be delighted that it's not Matt Canada. We're happy. Everyone relax. Chill. Mark Caboli is going to join us at 8 o'clock. He got fired by The Athletic. What the heck happened there?
Yeah, weird.
He got screwed. I don't know what happened, but he got screwed.
No doubt.
He's as good at that job as being a local beat writer as just about anybody in this country.
Yes.
I would say.
He was probably the top dog if you kind of evaluate everybody at The Athletic out of any sport. He's probably the top dog.
Top dog.
So
big old kaboom.
Bunch of idiots over there.
I agree. We're boycotting The Athletic.
Yeah, they're idiots.
Dumb. He's going to join us at 8 o'clock. I don't know if he'll get into any of that, but we'll talk about the Steelers with Mark, too, because he's still got tremendous insights. Coming up next, a little around the NFL segment planned for you, the great unsponsored football segment filled with knowledge and fun brought to you by To Be Determined. We did a bad job with the clock right there. We did a bad, bad job with the clock right there. Yes, it was a bad, bad job with the clock right there. It was a bad, bad job with the clock right there. Okay. Yeah, we've been chasing it. We've been chasing it for this last hour here. Bad clock management.
But good content.
Great content.
Uh-huh.
Content rules the day.
Yes, it does.
Mark Caboli joining us next. It does not apparently rule the day at The Athletic because his content is great and they fired him, which is ridiculous. 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. So this is the great unsponsored football segment, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, brought to you by nobody, and it's filled with knowledge and fun. And have you heard the latest Kay Adams rumor?
I have. Man.
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, man.
She's dating Daniel Jones? This is according to TMZ.
I didn't know that. Like, I mean, that interview, now that makes sense. Did you see the interview?
When I saw the interview, I went, that is weird.
Very weird.
Because she was like, Mr. Daniel Jones. And now you find out, according to TMZ. So, hey, I'm just saying what's out there.
Right.
According to TMZ, she's dating Daniel Jones, who has a beard.
Good for him.
Apparently. Good for her.
Yeah.
Superstar quarterback. That's what Dove Kleiman wrote. Kay Adams dating superstar quarterback Daniel Jones.
Got a lot of money.
A lot of money. I would argue he's getting paid more money for doing less than any quarterback in football.
Right now?
I think it was $220 he got.
I think 180.
Oh. I would agree with what I just said.
She's winning. I mean, he's a strapping young guy.
Strapping lad.
Extremely smart, went to Duke.
Yeah.
And has a lot of money.
See, there's a lot more NFL stories we'll get to. If I didn't screw the clock, we would get into more here. And we got plenty of time still left, 2 hours left in the show. I don't like that whole thing. Oh, he went to Duke, he's smart. I'm sure he's a smart guy. But like people would say, and you love this guy. And I've heard nothing but great things, but Ryan Fitzpatrick, he went to Harvard, genius. Well, you know what? His Harvard ass sure threw in a double freaking coverage a lot. Really? It doesn't make you a genius football player.
He's smart.
Ryan Fitzpatrick? Yeah, sure. And I hear he's
not
a great
guy.
Genius
football player, but you could be, right. Like, he just chose to play football. And now, like, I mean, he could have done so many different things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Andrew Luck.
Sure. Josh Dobbs, he's a rocket scientist. Right. Well, go make rockets. Go be a scientist. Because clearly it doesn't help you read defenses. No offense. Nobody else there needed to have shots across their bow, and yet we threw them. All right. Go ahead.
We'll talk about it later. Like, who is probably the smartest quarterback that is playing right now that went to a smart school?
Geno Smith.
Oh, God.
Mark Caboli joins us next. No longer with The Athletic. We'll see if he'll get into that. If not, we will respect him. And then we will get into some Steelers football with the big kaboom. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy summer drive continues at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 80, low 56.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.